Did Mahler tyrannize his singers, even in Vienna? Absolutely. He insulted them, forced them to rehearse endlessly parts they had already sung for years. He accepted no mistakes and took no excuses. Most of his singers feared him, hated him, even loathed him, but... Well, as an example of but, the baritone Theodor Reichmann was typical of the primo uomo singer that Mahler encountered in the course of his career in Vienna. Reichmann, near the end of his career when Mahler came to Vienna, was a crowd pleaser, and typical of his type, he was vain and pompous, a strutting popinjay, as they used to say. Reichmann hated Mahler, and he kept a diary. Some brief and telling excerpts from Reichmann's diary, and I quote, "He shows no pity, but tries to violate my real nature. He ignores my greatest natural gifts. Mahler is a little Jewish dwarf. He dares to treat me as a beginner. I will not accept such treatment any longer. At the first opportunity, I will spring at his throat," unquote, and so forth, and so on, page after page after page. And guess what? A few days later, after Reichmann had sung in a performance of Wagner's Die Meistersinger under Mahler's baton, we read this diary entry. And again, I quote Reichmann's diary. "Thanks be to God and to Mahler. It is true. He drives me crazy. It is true. He lacks respect towards me. But all is forgiven and forgotten, for he has forced me to surpass myself. Never, but never have I sung the role better. I didn't believe it possible that I could be so effective. Never have I been so acclaimed. Yes, yes, I must kneel at Mahler's feet and apologize in front of everyone," unquote. Conflicting feelings, no? Yes. And this sort of commentary is so typical of the sort we read in reference to Mahler, the conductor. It seems to us, if we may editorialize for a moment, that if Gustav Mahler wanted something, within reason, for his opera company, he should have gotten it every single time. As an opera conductor, as an opera interpreter, as a vocal conductor and vocal coach, he was the very best of his time, and I would tell you among the very best that ever lived. It's an unfortunate commentary on the nature of the workplace, given Mahler's extraordinary track record and success, that administrators from Leipzig to Budapest to Hamburg to Vienna simply couldn't leave him alone and let him do his thing. Now, Mahler had other problems in Vienna. The novelty of his productions, his intransigence as a man and conductor, and the revolutionary aspects of his own compositions provided constant grist for the anti-Semitic press. Libelous, false, and incendiary stories turned up in the papers constantly. Mahler gives birth to a two-headed baby. Mahler sleeps with Elvis. Nostradamus predicts Mahlerian catastrophe. And despite Mahler's success at the opera, despite his almost universal critical acclaim as a conductor, hostility towards him was building up from within the opera itself. Again, Mahler's tyrannical nature, his dictatorial style as director, and above all, the way he treated his colleagues when he was angry, were increasingly resented by the administrators, singers, and musicians alike. And as Mahler's compositional career finally began to take off, and as he was ever in greater demand to conduct his own works, Mahler spent more and more time away from the opera, leaving the conductorial chores to his assistants, which included, by 1901, Bruno Walter. And this displeased management. By the way, this doesn't mean that Mahler in 1904, 1905, 1906 didn't work like a dog. He did. He always did. He conducted more performances in one season in Vienna than a modern music director conducts in five seasons. This is no exaggeration. The bar was higher then, people worked harder then, and Gustav Mahler, more than any other single conductor, was responsible for its rather stratospheric placement.